Welcome to The Word in 10, a podcast from Dwell Community Church. My name is Chris Risley, and we've been taking a look at the greeting in the book of 1 Peter. This is part two in a four-part series. We started with just his greeting, looking at verse one last time, and so now I'd like to finish up verse two, and I'll just read the first couple of verses for us again. Peter writes, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure." We talked about Peter as the author and the recipients as aliens or sojourners. Let's turn our attention now to more details that Peter draws out in his greeting. He says here, these are people who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Whole books have been written about what it means to be chosen. Does that mean that God chooses some people and not others? Well, this verse is an important one in that debate because it says here that we are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. We are chosen based on God's knowledge that we would respond. It's not like asking a relative stranger out on a date, unsure if they're going to say yes or no. It's more like the NFL draft. Each team picks, knowing that the guy that they pick is going to say yes. In fact, I think about when my husband and I started dating. We were good friends before we got together, and I could tell based on how our friendship was going that there was a good chance it was going to become more than a friendship. I knew that he was going to ask me out on a date. He knew that I was going to say yes. And this is the sense in which we are chosen by God. So the question is, are you chosen? Well, have you said yes to God? Then you are chosen by God. And the whole debate can obscure a crucial detail here. When it says that we're chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, it means that God knew everything there was to know about you when he offered a relationship with you. Scott and I bought a house a long time ago, and we had an excellent realtor who coached us through the whole process. I remember there was one house in a perfect location. It was in the heart of Clintonville, and even there it had a sizable yard, and the price was amazing. We couldn't figure it out, but our wise realtor drew our attention to an important detail that the house was listed as is, in that there were undisclosed problems with the house. Those problems could have been minor. They probably weren't. And so if we had purchased that house, we would have been getting into unforeseen issues. But as far as God is concerned, when he sees you, nothing is unforeseen. You and I came as is. There are parts of me that were and still are very broken. There are choices that I made that left me really messed up. There were ways I was affected by others that left deep scars. God has done a tremendous renovation in my life, but it's not done yet, and it won't be done completely until I get to heaven. But he looked at me. He looked at you and said, "I'm in. I'll take that one." I spent much of my life not feeling chosen for anything. And now, all of a sudden, the God of the universe has chosen me. And so no matter what anyone else thinks of you, God wants you. He wants a relationship with you. We looked last time at the fact that this world is not our home, that we're strangers and aliens just traveling through, and that means we can put up with the discomfort and pain of this temporary life. Here, Peter shows us another layer. We don't fit in because we don't belong to this world. We belong to God. And so many of the things that others do to fit in are things we don't need to do. In fact, that's what Peter addresses next. He says, we're chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Sanctify just means to set apart as different. How different is your life from the lives of people who don't know God? Now, we're not talking about superficial differences, and we're not talking about creating a Christian subculture. There are Christians that do that, and then they pursue wealth and image just as much as any non-Christian. No, I mean deeper differences. For example, are you set apart in your desire to pursue simple living, or does your standard of living compete with the world? You'll only be able to resist the pull of materialism if you believe that God will provide for you. Or what about if you're a parent? Do you want your kid to be the top scholar or the top athlete, no matter how much time that takes? Or do you want your kid to be deeply involved in fellowship, even if it means sacrificing the starting role on the varsity team or the special academic award? You will only be able to have spiritual goals for your kids if you believe that God's way of life is best for them, even if it means they won't be like everybody else. People are watching your life, perhaps more than you realize. I have had recent conversations with neighbors. Two different neighbors told me that they see how often people are in and out of our house. And I have to admit, my heart reaction was to feel very anxious that we were annoying them with the regular traffic on our property. But one woman said how cool she thought it was for us to live in that much community. And the other woman said that everyone she saw looked really nice. I also had a conversation recently at the gym where I and a friend in fellowship are both members. A woman there was talking about my friend and how peaceful she seems, how she just has a glow to her. I completely agreed. And then I said that my friend would be the first one to tell you that her peace does not come naturally to her, that flows from her relationship with God. My kids are in high school and they have friends over. One kid was marveling at how we don't have a nice house or nice cars, but we're so happy. A backwards compliment, if there ever was one. But isn't that the point? Shouldn't there be something about our lives that doesn't make any sense? Shouldn't people look at us and think, their house isn't that nice, their cars are kind of old, their schedule seems a little crazy, but boy, are they happy. And so to be set apart means we should look different in terms of our happiness, our purpose, our relationships. Now, that's not to say that our lives need to be perfect reflections of peace and happiness. No, in fact, what Peter says next is this: we're set apart to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. Even as chosen Christians loved by God and set apart by the Holy Spirit, we are still in the process of needing to learn what it means to follow Jesus, and every failure is a reminder of how we are sprinkled with his blood. God will use our different lives to show how good he is, and he will use our struggles and failures to remind us that we are never the ones who accomplished this. It has always been him. In fact, God wants to use the good differences in your life to draw people in so that you can share about God's grace. If people saw your happiness and your peace, and you just gave them a 12-step program to achieve it for themselves, well, they could find that in the self-help section on Amazon. No, we have something so much deeper to offer. We can share about how we don't deserve any of the blessings we have from God. We can share about how far short we still fall, how gracious God is to us. I pray regularly that when people mention good things in my life, that I can give all the glory to God. And I also try to find ways to open up about how my family, my wonderful family that is a blessing from God, is a normal family with conflicts and struggles. Because people who are searching don't want perfect. They know that perfect is what you can get if you turn to social media and all of that is curated and fake. No, what they want is reality. And they will be attracted by the reality of a life lived with and for God. And so where does your life need to be different? You don't need to find acceptance from anywhere but God. He has chosen you. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks of you. And the Spirit has set you apart. Your life can look different, but the differences will be because of God, not because of us. I encourage you to pray today that God will give you an opportunity to share about your life. Perhaps it'll be an opportunity to explain why you don't pursue the things most people think they have to have in order to be happy. Perhaps it'll be an opportunity to open up about the reality, which includes some of the mess. Both of those can be glorifying to God and part of our witness to a watching world. And as we share those, we will see God use it to draw people to himself. Peter finishes this short little section saying, "May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure." And I pray the same for you today. Thanks for listening. For more resources like this, visit dwellcc.org.